Okay. Recording is on, I hope. Yep.
Good evening. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Or just recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all.
Before we establish the order of the agenda, I have something that I'd like to read tonight. For the meeting tonight, please make sure that you're muted. Please be aware that we are recording the meeting. This meeting will be conducted with the same protocol as previous board meetings. However, due to the COVID-19 pandemic and pursuant to an executive order by the New York State Governor, the Bainbridge-Guilford Central School District is holding its public board meeting remotely. In consideration of the uniqueness of circumstances presented and the inability to effectively permit and or control public comment, the board will be waiving the public comment portion of tonight's meeting. Should any member of the public wish to bring a matter to the board's attention, they are encouraged to do so in writing to Tim Ryan, Superintendent of Schools. We've had no changes to the agenda as presented. Can I have a motion to accept the agenda as presented?
So moved. Second.
Tina and Rebecca. All in favor? Seven, zero. Reports and presentations, superintendent's report.
Thank you. I wanted to quickly take you down through how the district continues to move forward amidst the coronavirus closure. Today was our second student work pickup day. The elementary buildings also had Gertrude Hawk candy picked up, and Greenlawn and the high school had band instruments picked up. All three locations went very well. Lots of staff volunteering, so thank you very much to the staff for coming out. I checked in on Guilford and I checked in on the high school when I got back, and I would say almost all of the work was gone out of the high school. From when I went up at noon, the tables were full. I went up at 6 and there was just a few pieces of work left to be picked up, and I'm not sure on Greenlawn. I'll check with Jen on that. Guilford, amidst the snow and the rain and the wind, they seem to have a good turnout as well. So we'll keep doing that as long as we keep being closed. I think it works well, and I think parents are appreciative of coming in and getting the work. Today was a bit different than our first work distribution day because work came back today. So we asked families to bag up and label their students' work. We put those in a separate location to sit for several days. Next week, we will distribute that work to staff to kind of start the check-in process of that. But it really went smoothly. Masks, gloves, bagged work coming back, putting stuff in the trunks of cars now instead of reaching into the car windows or having people get out. We've got staff saying, please pop your trunk and, we'll put stuff in for you. I know sometimes people get excited and hop out and want to help, but we're really trying to make sure we adhere to safety when we're distributing these materials. If we remain closed, we will do this again in 2 weeks. We were not able to get all of the Google Chromebooks processed. We can only do 8 an hour, and there are 450 of them that came in Monday. We are hoping for a day next week where we can offer to our secondary students the option of coming in and picking up. We will deliver those with our buses that we're using for the meal delivery for kids that can't come in and get them. So today went very well. And you hear me say via email and in comment that this is a situation that we've never experienced. Nobody's experienced it. It's hard to go to people for guidance. I have a daily Zoom meeting with 16 superintendents and BOCES, and everybody's in the same boat, but everybody's been very good at reaching out, supporting, and helping each other. So we're going to get through this. It's trying at times, but I really think we're settling into an understanding of what needs to be done and support the students and help the kids with that connection to school. So if you have any questions or suggestions on that, certainly let me know. But I think, you know, we're going to make it through this time. It is very trying. It's very stressful. We've got staff coming in on rotations. The volunteers are incredible. So we're doing it, and we're going to get through this. And I keep saying a year from now, we're going to look back and chuckle and say, oh my gosh, remember last year at this time? But, you know, we can do this. So going very well. Our new bus mechanic has started, and he's doing very well. As we knew when we interviewed, there would be a very small learning curve for him. He's doing an outstanding job. We're going to move forward with bus inspections. There is an ease up on the regulations if you aren't comfortable having people come from DOT and stuff, but we, talking to Kyle, prefer to keep moving forward with all that, so that's what we're going to do with them. Regents for the school year have been canceled, and of course, students enrolled in Regents credit now will get credit for that Regents without having to sit for it or to take it. The next generation standards, everything I went over with you in the board meeting when I did that presentation is going to occur. They've backed everything off a year. So the first assessments of those were supposed to happen in the spring a year from now. Everything's been pushed back. So still coming, just delayed for a year. Graduation requirements, we're wrapping our head around what that's going to look like. Of course, Regents ties into that graduation requirement. I get a lot of questions about, are we going to hold graduation, how we're going to hold graduation. We will look for guidance from the state. Hopefully we're back in session by then. If we were not, or if we're not allowed to have a large gathering like that, we certainly will make it work somehow so the kids have that ceremony. School rankings I sent you, I was very excited that BG had moved up, you know, into the low 200s. And I want to give you a little background on what that's based on. U.S. News and World Report looks at the number of our students taking AP classes. They look at how many students are proficient on the 3 through 8 assessments, and they also look at our graduation rate. So we were the best of the districts that we compare to, and I know I pick at Tina a little bit. I did check on Walton. And so we're doing great things here, and so that's hats off to the staff and to you as a board for supporting us, because we're really making great strides. So very excited about that. And the food deliveries are going well. After next week, Billy Regals, in charge of our food service, wants to switch to 1 day per week and do 5 days of food in 1 day. For various reasons, the way the food is coming into us, trying to line up staff to pack hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of breakfast and lunch. We're also offering different things. We've started to offer chicken patties. We've got pizzas coming, I think, going out Tuesday. So after next week, it will switch to 1 day a week, and most districts are doing that same thing. You know, when we started this closure, we thought, oh, this is 2 weeks, we can do this. And then we were like, oh, we can do this in 2 days, not every day, but the 1 day a week, I think, will help on all fronts. So we will continue, and it's being utilized. I meant to get updated numbers from Billy, but we're doing several hundred, you know, for each day. So that's a good thing, and kids are utilizing that, and we're still delivering by van. So those are my coronavirus pieces. The capital project, originally a reason we wanted to call this meeting was to have you deem parts of the capital project essential. And Colleen Heinrich, one of our attorneys from Ferrara, said that we do not need a resolution that schools are exempt from the pieces that the governor put in place to stop other construction projects. So we had meetings this week to determine the pieces that we felt that we could start to pull off and maintain safety, you know, health and social distance and all that stuff. So a part of that is the capital outlay project. That has to be completed by June 30th, paid for, so we get 8 next year. That's the security cameras. on campus. We're going to start doing that. We're going to pick off exterior doors around campus. Fitness center here at the high school, the Einstein ramp floor here at the high school has been removed. I don't know if you remember, there's that rubber layment that goes down through there with ribs in it. We're getting that replaced. We've got to finish casing the windows on the fitness center so moisture doesn't come in through those. Unit ventilators only require two people to work on at a time. They can maintain safety and social distance, and then a third person runs the lines for the cooling systems to those. So we, I had asked if we could do all this work second shift, then there would be no intermingling with staff. The problem is much of this work was bid out at first shift. So if we moved it all to second shift, we probably wouldn't have the people available and we'd have to pay more for it because that costs more to do second shift work. So we're gonna start doing that. There is no need for a resolution. I've talked to Lee today and said, not next week, we shouldn't have a lot of staff in, but the following week will be another student pickup week. So we'll have more staff in, we'll schedule around the staff, we'll make sure that there isn't that mingling. We've designated bathrooms in each of the three buildings strictly for the workers to use. They need washrooms. We've got sign-in precautions put in place, limiting their access to doors. So I think we've thought of everything. And if you have any questions about what that will look like, I can certainly answer those. But we do need to keep moving because as at this time, there has been no extension of deadlines for when the work has to be completed. So we're still up against that wall of this has to be done and paid for by June 30th. And then the big capital project, we need to have that done in October. So it's still doable, but we're getting close to it not being doable. So I think that is all I have. Any questions before I move on? Anything with capital project or coronavirus? Any questions of anything that I talked about? Next, I want to talk to you about a proposed teacher retirement incentive. It is on your agenda. We did this last year when we were working on balancing the budget to see if there was interest from the staff, if we should entertain a retirement package. We have proposed one on your agenda. And what we're looking at, we offered last year, the contract allows teachers in their first years of eligibility at 55, 56, and 57 to cash in 60% of their allowable sick days. We would like to propose an incentive that allows teachers to cash in 75% of their accumulated sick days and open that up to people that beyond the 55, 56, and 57. So if they miss that incentive the first 3 years of eligibility, we want to open it up to those that are beyond 57, but also anybody that's still 55, 56, or 57. So that is on your agenda, and I sent you a copy of the proposal, and I don't know if any of you have questions about that before we move on, or if you want to wait until it comes to the voting piece and then have a discussion at that point. I think it's necessary. We need to come up with some money to support the shortfall in the budget. We're short because of the increase in insurance, which I've let you know about, and the decrease in state aid, and the ability of the state to cut our aid 3 times over the next year, and we aren't aware of how much those cuts will be. So that's kind of forced us to look at all areas of the budget, and we did feel like there would be interest in a retirement incentive. So that's where we put that in. And that is all I have until we get to budget.
Budget presentation.
So moving on to the budget presentation, you've heard me talk about the three-pronged monster with this budget. Our health insurance increase has gone way up. We believed that we were at an 11.9% cap this year. That has been lifted. Federal legislation now allows them not to have to adhere to the 11.9. Our first quote came in at a 28% increase for health insurance. Janice talked with Brown and Brown. We got that down to a 21% increase in health insurance. We do need to bring the health insurance committee together if we want to look at There's some things that they suggested that we could look at that would get it down to probably 19%, but that it wouldn't go lower than that. Things such as raising the emergency room copay from $100 to $250, raising the $10 copay to $15, looking at the prescription plans. So those are all things that might shave 2 more percentage points off it, but Brown and Brown did say it wouldn't go below 19%. So with that said, and with a decrease in aid from the state, and with the ability of the state to reduce our aid during the year 3 times, we're several hundred thousand dollars upside down on the budget. And when we, this is right out, and I first started this, we've proposed cuts of about 500 and some thousand. I met with the administration today to start to brainstorm with them if there were areas that we could cut further, trying to avoid cutting staff. Unfortunately, that is not off the table. Janice and I still feel like we need to cut 150 to 200,000 more out of the budget, but we're going to move now to, Janice has put together a presentation that talks about some of the different parts, and that should be blue and white, and it says 2021 budget information on the front. And we'll start with the first page, and it's called state aid, and Janice will take you through that.
So I sat through a number of webinars and Zoom meetings and all kinds of good stuff this week with school boards, administration, ASBO Association, its Association of School Business Officials, Questar State Aid Planning. And this is kind of a boiled down version of what has happened with state aid and kind of where we're heading. So what happened is this foundation aid for the districts is frozen at the 1920 allocation based on the budget that was just passed last week. State aid runs included what's called a pandemic adjustment reduction, which was based on the amount of Title I funds that we received. For BG, that reduction was $172,000. The pandemic adjustment is going to be offset with federal stimulus CARES Act funds that was allocated to New York State for education in the amount of $1.1 billion. So as we currently understand it, New York State will be passing the CARES Act funds on to districts through regular aid payments in amount equal to the pandemic adjustment. Originally, earlier in the week, we were thinking that we were going to have to apply to the federal government for it. We were going to have to put it through our federal funds, similar to other grants. We were thinking it was going to be similar to a Title I grant, where we were going to have to write the grant, that sort of thing. We learned later in the week that the federal government has to pay the state for this, and the state will just be passing it through to us, but they wanted to show it what each district was being cut and how they allocated those cuts out. So unfortunately, those districts that have that utilize a lot more Title I funds, they were cut much more than our district. So that's the pandemic adjustment. So moving on to the next page, the potential mid-year reductions. So the final budget that was passed authorizes the assessment of state revenues and expenditures on an ongoing basis. So what that means is when they get to a certain time period within the year, they're going to look at revenues, and if their revenues are 1% lower than what they estimated, they're going to make cuts. If their expenditures are 1% higher or more than what they anticipated, they're going to make cuts. So the state can reduce aid to the school districts if the revenues come in below the estimates or the and or the expenditures come in above the estimates. So this is subject to a plan by the Department of Budget. The legislator has the ability to counter the Department of Budget's proposed adjustments with their own plan. They have 10 days to do that. If they don't do within anything within 10 days, the Department of Budget's proposal goes through. So the 3 measurement periods are April 1st to the 30th of this year, 2020. We are still not sure at that time if we're going to have an aid cut for this year at that point, or if they're just going to look at these measurement periods and have one lump sum aid cut next year at some point. So this is a very unknown thing for districts at this point as to when are our aid cuts going to come in this year or next year. The second measurement period is May 1st to June 30th, and again, that's within this school year. The Department of Budget has 5 days, I believe, to put their proposal together. The legislative branch then has their 10 days. So we're looking at least 15 days beyond these time periods to know what may happen. The third one is July 1st to December 31st, which is a really big chunk of time to look at. So just letting you know that this is kind of what the district is facing and the unknowns that are out there as far as this is concerned. So we just have no idea what these adjustments will look like being passed on to school districts. Now, if they look at April and the April 1st one, and they look at the May to June one, and then they get to the July, December, the economy has kicked back up and their revenues are over, they would have to give aid back to districts if they had cut aid, is the way we understand it. So it works both ways. So we just don't know. So that's the mid-year reductions.
And another piece of that is two of those three aid dates probably are still during that closure time, which means that your incoming revenue is going to be very little. Hopefully by the third one, we've kicked back into full gear, and maybe that will be a positive, but that's another concern.
Right. So moving on to the third page, we talk about what other state aid categories could be affected. For transportation aid, our transportation aid is an expense-based aid. So based on what expenses we have this year is how much aid we get for next year. Because we don't have our regular run miles going out right now on those buses and other related expenses to transportation of students, it's probable that we will see a decrease in transportation aid for the 2021 school year. It's very hard to determine what that would look like at this point. Number one, because we don't know if we're going back into session to get those some of those miles back. And number two, just what that decrease would look like. I have tried to account for in the budget proposal at this point on the revenues what I feel like we would be able to recognize from transportation aid, looking at kind of where we have been in the past and then making another cut beside that just to be on the safe side on the revenues. We don't have any answers from the state on whether we can count miles delivering meals and schoolwork back and forth, if those will count towards our regular miles for bus runs. We don't have any answers on anything like that. The second one is BOCES aid is based on RWADA, which is the resident weighted average daily attendance. It's unclear how, with the inability to take attendance for students on a daily basis throughout this time, will affect that type of an aid category. So similar to transportation aid, I've kind of looked at where we are with BOCES aid and made an additional reduction to that just to be on the safe side, to understand that we may not get what the state is telling us. Right now, the state is telling us what we're going to get based on what we put in for the ST3 and what I put in for aidable services back in October. So these things will change over the course of the next year as to what kind of aid we will see next year. And unfortunately, like I said, the state hasn't provided any answer to any of the questions. So districts are left to use their best guess for their aid categories next year. These two particular aid categories, which are the larger of the two for us. So I put together some potential strategies that we've been discussing among our administrators and between Mr. Ryan and myself to weather this storm. Now, we don't believe this storm is going to be a one-year storm. We believe it's going to be multi-year faceted, similar to the GEA, which was many years ago back in 2008, which took us many years to come through. So what we've been working on is reviewing expenditures for areas to reduce. We've provided a listing of those areas that we feel like we can reduce for the next school year already by just looking at each category of expenses and what's contained in those expenses and just different things that we may be able to kind of shave out for a few years and still get by. Just like Mr. Ryan mentioned before, offering an enhanced retirement incentive using the EBOLAR funds as a way to reduce salary and benefit expenses in the future. That helps us in that it's a multiple year thing. It's not a one-time money thing. It'll help us for a number of years down the road. To consider the use of appropriated fund balance to balance the budget rather than funding reserves. So this past year, to this current year that we're in, 1920, we didn't use any fund balance to balance the budget. In this particular budget proposal, we're proposing to up that to $500,000 to balance the budget. That's $500,000 that we would not have to cut out from other expenses via staff or whatever else to balance the budget. We just wouldn't be funding reserves with that. We would be balancing the budget with that. And again, that's one-time money unless we build that back into the budget to do that again in the following year. So it's a balancing act, you know, to move forward with some of this stuff. The other thought is if we have an additional fund balance beyond the 500 to put it through the budget, to consider increasing the ERS and the TRS retirement reserve funds to weather potential rate increases for future years. Because the stock market is not doing well and the investments of those plans are not doing well, we're going to see some pretty big increases in ERS and TRS probably in the next few years. So I just want to be prepared for that, for us as a district to put those funds aside. We've already started those reserves, but to put those up to where we can to weather the storm for another few years. We're talking about purchasing next year's school supplies and topping off fuel tanks, purchasing whatever equipment we have available in line items in this year's budget, doing a number of those things in this year's budget to free up money in the 2021 budget to weather potential aid reductions next year. We're not removing those areas from the budget. We're keeping them in the budget to allow us to weather some of those aid reductions if they come. If they don't come, we have that as available fund balance to move on to the next year. The other thought is to increase the unappropriated fund balance at the end of the 1920 school year beyond the allowed 4%. Every year we do our allowed 4%, which is a little over $700,000, to have funds available for the potential state aid reductions next year. We did ask this question in our ASBO group yesterday, and ASBO has had conversations with SED about that. And SED has indicated that they will not be penalizing districts if they choose to do that because they understand the predicament that we're in and the unknowns that we're in. Now, that's not to say that we could continue to do something like that, but they probably would make a one-year passover, if you want to say, when they look at our ST3s and see what those fund balances are, to make an allowance for that, or we could give an explanation, this is why we did that. So these are some, you know, potential strategies that we've talked about here, that I've talked about with our other business officials and, you know, the other groups that we work with. So you have the proposed budget reductions for all the areas of the budget that we've proposed. Anywhere from conferences to the foregoing of certain people with their raises, purchasing equipment in this year versus next year, so not budgeting for that equipment for next year, eliminating of equipment for a number of areas that we were trying to put in a place of in place a equipment replacement plan for student desks and chairs. We've eliminated those items, the student supplies that we were doing, just a number of different areas. We reduced our Career Academy students. We in the past, we've been budgeting for 8 areas there. We reduced that to 4. We were planning this year as part of the strategic plan to add an ag teacher. We've looked at the elimination of that from the budget. We were going to put in a summer reading and math program. We've looked at eliminating that. We were looking to do some different equipment items for the library to do like an internet cafe. We've eliminated that. We've eliminated some athletic types items, some of the uniforms, athletic conferences. We were considering replacing the mat in the wrestling room. A softball fence, just some equipment items there. And one other one that was a large one is we had planned to do the Guilford parking lot. So we have eliminated that and the elimination of the free breakfast program as well, the subsidy of the school lunch program. So those are some of the budget reduction proposals that we've put together. as we've had discussions here in reviewing the budget.
Sure. I just have a question, Janice. So you said that this is a, sort of a long-term issue, so it won't be just this year, it'll be 3 years, 4 years, every year when we do this. So will this, this reduction list, is this something that, that will come out every year or something that you'll put together as the year progresses?
Yes, we'll be doing this every single year, you know, to look to, can we put some of these things back?
Okay.
You know, we haven't shaved everything to bare bones.
Right.
Because we just can't at this point. Like I said, we really need to, you know, if we're going to fund the balance or the budget with $500,000 worth of fund balance for this year, we've got to have that moving forward as well. Because we, you know, it's just not sustainable to just do that as a one-time thing, shave everything back to bare bones. So we've tried to shave what we felt we could live without at this point, and then moving forward, you know, we might have to look at some stronger cuts if we need to.
Thank you.
Janice, do you anticipate any further solid numbers before we have to adopt this on the 8th?
Other than the state having their first review at April 30th, we're not expecting anything else. And again, I believe that that time period after that April 30th is 15 days for us to know anything, which is actually beyond the date that we would need to adopt the budget from the way we understand it right now with the June 1st deadline. They have not given us, I don't think that they've given us a solid date on when the budget vote would be at this point. But there has been a June 1st date out there for elections or something along those lines.
Tina, some of the other things that could change, we'll continue to meet the administrative team and look at shaving. You know, after our meeting today, they're supposed to be brainstorming some other possible cuts. To see if we can come up with the money that we feel we need, but.
Any more questions on that? And we'll go on to revenue. So I felt like that we really needed to start with revenue at this point for the school year versus the expenditures. We usually start with the expenditures and then move into the revenues, but we really need to match the expenditures to the revenues for this year's budget. So I put together the projected revenue. So the top section is our state aid. You can see that the foundation aid has virtually remained the same, which is what the governor has said. Now, regarding the pandemic adjustment, I'm not showing that here because it's fully expected that that money will come back in from the federal government to the state, and the state will reimburse us back for that. So as we were talking at our business officials meeting today, there weren't any of us that had decided to show that because it's been pretty clear to us that we will get that back. The BOCES aid is the next one. This is the area where, as you can see, I reduced it $62,000 lower than what we're expecting to get this year. This year, we're actually not getting this amount. It was actually about $260,000 than what I had projected. I'm not expecting it to go that low next year. The hardware and technology aid, that's based on student counts, so that actually went up a little bit. Our excess cost aid is based on what we can stack and that sort of thing. Textbook software and library aid, that's based on student counts. Transportation aid is the other one where I had indicated that I felt like from the projection that they gave us, which was about $976,000, I shaved about $125,000 off from that. I typically don't budget to what they have projected anyway, because it usually doesn't come in that high. So I looked at where we have been over the last few years, and then I budgeted just a little bit lower than that. Moving on down to miscellaneous revenue, the pilot, that one has gone up based on my calculations for the tax cap and the Amphenol property. our interest and penalties are going to, I budgeted the same on the tax penalties. That's for the penalties that we receive when people pay their taxes beyond the September 30th deadline. The non-resident tuition, that's for our non-resident students coming in, where they're now paying tuition. The shared services for athletics is our shared wrestling program with Harpersville and Afton. Student fees and charges, that's just different things coming in. That's the gate receipts, different things like that. Athletic admissions. The student fees and charges are for the instrument rent and different things like that that we get. So I didn't really make any too many changes there. Our athletic admissions seem to be down a little bit over the past few years, so I reduced that a little bit. Others charges for services, that's where particularly the after-school care program is. Interest on investments, unfortunately, our interest in the middle of March went from 1.5% to 0.3%. So we're going to get little to nothing on interest, unfortunately, now. So I had to drop that way back. Hopefully it comes back up, but we'll see. Rental, we're still expecting to receive all of those items. The sale of equipment. So next year we're replacing two buses and a van and the tractor. And so getting estimates from Kyle and from James on what they expect to be able to receive back from the surplus sale of those items was about $27,500 on those items. Refund of prior year expense. This is particularly BOCES. And I have gotten what our BT BOCES refund was going to be, which is about a little over $60,000, and I'm expecting a similar amount from DCMO BOCES. So I upped that to about $125,000 for there. Our unclassified revenues are just LPP will use our school buses. We get paid for that. So that's just kind of some unclassified revenue. And then our Medicaid reimbursements coming in. So that's our miscellaneous revenue. The tax levy is the tax cap that we talked about when I figured that out in a previous meeting where we looked at that. So we can get from the tax cap a 2.4% increase, and which is $157,000. We have one under appropriated reserves for use. We're anticipating using $240,000 out of the transportation reserve to pay for the two buses that we're purchasing. And we're expecting to use some employee benefit reserve money to pay a transportation retirement incentive that we will be paying in December. And then, of course, the appropriated fund balance use of $500,000. So that puts our revenue at just around $20,094,000. And which is a 6.67% increase over last year. I think we skipped over building aid up in the state aid section. Our building aid this year is going up $634,000. Now, this is contingent on this building project that we're currently working on closing out by December 31st. So that's why we're really having discussions about moving the capital project along, because if that does not happen, that's going to significantly impact our building aid that we get for that particular project. So we're really trying to move that project along to get that closed out in time to be able to get these aid payments.
So here's a question for our board, and Sue came up with this one, so I'm going to give her credit.
No.
If you look at the revenue, it's up a lot from last year's budget. Why are we then financially challenged with the budget we're trying to put together? We're up from 18.8 to 20 million in revenue. So if you look at those bottom lines, you'd think that we're in good shape. The piece that makes that is we're pulling 500 grand out of the fund balance. We didn't do that last year, and we're getting building aid in of 600,000. So right there are the two drivers for that increase in revenue. The flip side of that, when we have the expenses done, is you'll see the increase in health insurance and the cuts in aid. So that's kind of the black and white of that piece.
Janice?
Yes.
You've got to be,
obviously pretty confident about that $20,000 in Medicaid reimbursement. Like, do you get something ahead of time that gives you a guesstimate of what you're getting back?
No, but I review, no, there's no way for us to tell that because that's based on our services that our kids are getting, and then they claim Medicaid funds for that. But this is pretty low compared to what we're actually getting.
Oh, okay.
So we're getting probably about, let's see, I budgeted 20,000 here. We're probably getting anywhere from $40,000 to $50,000 in Medicaid money. But okay. That can change. So I was a little conservative on that.
Okay.
I tried to be a conservative in a lot of these numbers just to be on the safe side, because the last thing we want to do is overestimate our revenues and underestimate our expenditures.
I'm sure you wake up in the middle of the night thinking of some of these things.
I'm working about, let's see, 20 hours a day in my head.
I'm sure.
And the other four, she's working in my head, so.
And do you say thank you?
Repeatedly.
Says thank you, ma'am.
Yep.
It's been tough. It has.
I'm sure.
It's a lot to think about, but I just have to remember that it's not just us in this boat. We're all in the boat. So, you know, things aren't going to be perfect. You know, we just don't know. So, you know, mistakes are going to be made and things are could possibly be missed. And, you know, we're doing the best we can to put it all together and put out to the public the best that we can do for our students.
It's the hardest. I told Janice I've done 7 now. It's the hardest one I've ever been a part of because there are moving parts to this one that we haven't had before. So it makes this one very tricky.
Understandable.
Any other budget questions? We will continue to update you, and we'll have, you know, more information on the 20th of April. So we'll just keep you posted and send us thoughts, and we can start a thread like we've done before, an email, and I can get you answers to questions and go from there.
Any more questions for Mr. Ryan or Janice on the budget?
Nope, I'm good, thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Move on to personnel. The reinstated appointment of Sarah Neslick and the amended appointment of Linda Anders. Do you want to explain these before we going farther?
Sarah was out on leave while she completed certification for her degree, and the second one started sooner than we realized, so that's why we had to amend that appointment.
I have a motion to accept.
They're all muted.
So moved.
I'll second.
Was that you, Shelly, with a second?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Jeannie and Shelly. Discussion? All in favor? 7-0. New business. Request approval of the agreement for independent auditor services with Insero and Company, CPAs, LLP, effective June 1, 2020 through June 30, 2024. B, request approval of the BGTA retirement incentive as presented, MOA as presented. And C, request approval of the BG digital device agreement regulation as presented.
Can I ask, are we doing those all together?
I'm just reading them because we're televising this.
Okay, sorry.
So yes, we're all going to vote on them at the same time. Motion to accept?
Can I just ask?
I'll move it.
Okay, never mind.
Tina?
Okay.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Shelley?
Just two things. One, I just was curious, was it just time to put the audit out to bid? Is that why we?
Yes, if you recall back in November when the auditors came, and shortly after that, they had called us to let us know that the person that was doing our audit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Chris had health issues. So we did an RFP.
Yep, that's right.
In February. And so the RFP came back. Tim and I reviewed. I checked references. I spoke with Enzero and Company. They do currently 30 some odd schools around the area. They're very reputable. They will be meeting with the audit committee prior to the start of the audit. For the engagement, and that's where we're at.
Thank you. I forgot about that.
Question on the incentive. Is there any chance at all that the school year will be extended, or if we don't return, if we do return, is June whatever still the end date of the school year?
As of right now, it is. Most of the conversations I've been involved in still seeing it ending June 30th per schedule. There was a teeny bit of talk of a possible summer six-week session. That doesn't seem to have gotten a lot of traction. So I haven't heard anything more on it.
How would that impact the incentive dated June 30th if they were to extend the school year or do a six-week summer program? Or
we could either seek legal counsel to get advice on whether there's an MOA that we could put in place to bring back any of those staff that took the incentive, or my guess is because it would be a summer session and we wouldn't have full enrollment, we could probably make do with a lesser staff.
Our fiscal year ends June 30th, so.
Okay.
I think that
that's not going to change.
Her concern is if we lose six people, then we need to teach all summer again. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Good question, though.
I had a question on the digital device user agreement. I saw in there that it said no stickers and things like that, but it didn't mention like the skins or protective cases. And so I was just wondering, is that something the school will provide, or would students be able to purchase, or parents rather, a protective case for the device just to kind of make sure that the student is keeping up with that agreement a bit better by protecting it?
The school is not providing the skins. We thought that was the way kids could personalize them because they're removable.
Okay, so students will be able to purchase those.
During links, they talked about ideas for that, and maybe having it be an opportunity for like a fundraiser where, you know, somebody could sell them and then the students could buy them. And the idea was that they would be put on the cases and not necessarily on the device itself.
Yep, good question.
So do the devices have any sort of case though, or no?
The Chromebooks have like those are not the newest ones.
They're not.
They look like, we don't have any right here. They've got sort of like a rubberized protection around them already. And we decided not to buy cases for them because when we checked in with other people, they felt like that rubberized coating protected you from drops and stuff. They're pretty rugged looking. It looks kind of like a big cell phone. If you put a case around a cell phone, it kind of looks like that.
Okay, that was all. I was just curious because I couldn't find it any place in there, and
That was a question I got, of course, right away from my student.
We figured the kids would want to personalize them, and that was one way they could do it, as long as it's removable and not stickers and things like that.
Okay.
I think the hope, too, was that if kids did personalize them, that perhaps they would take greater care of them, because then that would be the same device that they would get back the following year and the following year and the following year. So I think it was their hope that there would be some personalization so that there would be some ownership of the device.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Kina, then Emily. All in favor? 7-0. Planning board events on the 20th of April, the BOCES board and budget vote. And I think that happens every year with us, and I think that's kind of a short meeting usually.
It is, and the 20th is still the date. Jeannie, I asked Perry that yesterday, so unless you've heard something different, that still happens. But you have up until, I believe, May 1, is that correct? You're muted.
Sorry. May 1 to what?
So the April 20th budget BOCES vote doesn't have to happen on the 20th.
We've got my understanding is, since it's not a public community vote, that it still is happening as of the 20th.
It is, yes. Yep.
Is that correct?
I asked Perry that, but I know another district doesn't have a meeting until a few days after that, and I believe that's okay because there's a window.
Oh, I didn't understand your question, Tim. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
We'll be
here the 20th. Yeah.
Everybody get that? We'll be meeting again here on the 20th.
Yeah, just so you, I mean, I haven't personally gotten the information that we normally get from BOCES. Don't we normally get the info, like the candidates and all that, Tim?
Sue? I think Robin sent it out yesterday, maybe?
Yes.
But I haven't had a chance to even look at it yet.
Okay.
So you'll get it next week, as soon as I get it.
Okay. There are three candidates for two seats.
Uh-huh. Do we have any candidates for our seats, or you're talking about BOCES seats?
OCC.
So we don't have anybody yet for you or Emily?
Not yet. And one of the pieces that I saw come across my desk today is they're talking about rolling board seats over for one more year. And I thought of Emily in that case. So that's not a done deal, but that's something that they're talking about. So
you're stuck with us, Emily.
That would make it easy. Yeah, Emily, take that.
It's not so bad. Maybe we could just keep up with the Zoom thing.
Yeah, there you go. But you have to move to a different room so we can see your house.
Yeah.
You don't like my asparagus fern?
Is that what that is? Wow.
We have nothing under miscellaneous. Do we want to go back into executive session to discuss again? Are you good?
We'll revisit it on the 20th, and certainly email threads, but whatever, if you have questions, I'm fine with whatever.
I feel like I'm good.
Is everybody good?
Yeah, I'm good.
We don't need to return to an executive session. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Dina, second?
Second.
Becca?
And thank you, Sue. This was great. You did a great job setting this all up.
Oh, I can sleep tonight.
Now she can sleep
tonight.
We're going to break out a bottle of bourbon here in a second.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
It is like Hollywood Squares, because when each one of them talks, it lights up big and lime green.
Oh, really?
Cool.
Yeah. Lime green? Did you choose that, Tim?
I did not choose that.
No. All in favor? All in favor to adjourn? 7-0.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Stay safe.